at the back of the barge. No, it's coming from... A shadow fell over the table, and she glanced up and spotted a dragon far overhead. Look! She pointed at it. Perhaps it was a dragon voice she'd been hearing after all. Puff! Is that you? Alexei snorted, then refilled his cup with cider. She frowned. Why wasn't the dragon answering her? Isn't that Puff? Alexei shook his head. It's another one. Hello? Quinor attempted to contact him, but still no reply. She sighed. He's not as friendly as Puff. Alexei's eyes twinkled with humor. You seem to like the one you call Puff. Of course, he saved my life. She motioned to the new dragon. Why is he circling overhead like that? Orders from the general. The dragon is watching over us to make sure the princess remains safe. Are you expecting some sort of danger? No, no. Alexei offered her the jug of apple cider. It's just a precaution. She refilled her cup. Then where is Puff? He told me he wouldn't be far away. Well, he isn't too far away. Alexei glanced over at the general, who was talking to the helmsman. General Dravenko told me you're going to return with us. Gwinor scoffed. I didn't have any choice, since I was desperate to get Eviana back home as soon as possible. Alexei tilted his head. You didn't have a choice? No. I agreed so the general would agree to return Eviana today. But he was already planning. Alexei bit his lip. Want some more bread? He passed to the basket. Quinor narrowed her eyes. What were you saying? Nothing. Alexei jumped to his feet. I should see if the general is hungry. Wait. Quinor rose to her feet. Was he already planning to return, Eviana? I don't know everything he's up to. Alexei winced. Obviously. When did you rent this barge? Quinor demanded. Before or after he made the bargain with me? Alexei grimaced. I've already said too much. She drew in a sharp breath. Had the general tricked her into agreeing to the bargain? She'd already seen how easily he had lied to the queen. Had he deceived her, too? Had he used her own desperation against her? With her heart pounding, she clenched her fists. How dare he manipulate her like this? She turned toward him, ready to unleash her anger, then stopped with a jerk. Somehow, he already knew. He must have overheard their conversation, for he was watching her with a stricken look. She scoffed. He might as well admit his guilt, for it was written clearly on his face. Chapter 8. Damn it. She was so damned quick at figuring things out, Silas thought. Hearing Gwinor's thoughts over the last few seconds had been like witnessing a shipwreck, and now she was pissed. But once again she'd proven how clever and discerning she was. He strode toward her. We need to talk. Her lovely lavender blue eyes flared hot with anger. I have nothing to say to you. Then you will keep your end of the bargain. She gritted her teeth. It was not a bargain. It was an act of coercion and deception. You should be ashamed. Silas shot Alexei an annoyed look for not keeping his mouth shut, then turned back to Gwinor. We still need to talk. Mayhap you need to talk, but I have nothing to say. She crossed her arms and looked away. Her odd manner of speech threw him for a second, but he ignored it. Look, we're going to be stuck together on this barge for the next 3 hours. Are you going to pretend that I don't exist? She studied her fingernails without responding. I'll take that as a yes, he muttered. But wouldn't you like to vent your anger? I do deserve it, after all. She snorted. At least she was listening. So for the next 2.5 hours, I will allow you to berate me. Allow me? As if I needed your permission. I'll yell at you whenever I please, and for as long as I want. His mouth twitched. This was more like it. Don't you dare smirk at me, she glowered at him. I am not entertaining. She was delightful. He bit his lip to keep from smiling. How about I let you throw me overboard? Can you swim? Yes, she shrugged. Then it's hardly worth my trouble. He stifled another grin. I'll promise to be wet and miserable for the rest of the trip. If I dry out too much, I'll jump back in. With a huff, she planted her hands on her hips. This is all a jest to you, isn't it? You tricked me. Come. He took her by the arm to lead her toward the side railing where they could be alone. When she jerked her arm free, he added, I'm just trying to put some distance between us and the child, so you don't wake her up when you start screeching at me. Screeching? Her voice rose, then she winced and gave him an annoyed look. For your information, I don't screech. I'm not the sort to lose control. He gave her a wry look, since he could recall her losing it the day before. Her hair had been loose and wild, unlike today's neat and tidy braid. She'd looked magnificent, so much so that a wicked part of him wanted to push her until she lost control again. Come on. He stepped toward the railing while he smiled at her. Aren't you curious why I'm so desperate to have you return with me? She glanced away, her cheeks turning pink. Blast him. I am curious, and the scoundrel knows it. I should slap the smile off his handsome face. Silas took a deep breath. Her reactions to him were affecting him too strongly, making his heart race and his groin tighten. If he didn't teach her soon to close off her mind, he might lose control himself and take her to bed. Fool, he berated himself. He would need to seduce her more slowly than that. First, he would kiss her, a gentle kiss, then a more passionate one. Damn it, what are you thinking? Thank the light, she couldn't hear his thoughts. But hell, she was going to be livid once she learned that Alexei, Dmitri, and he could hear her. He bowed his head. Please accept my apology. I am truly sorry. She scoffed. Am I supposed to believe that? You've spent the last few minutes joking about the situation. That was my attempt to be so charming that you would forget about being angry. When she gave him an incredulous look, he winced. Apparently, you are immune to my charms. I wish. She eyed him warily. You lied to the Queen, telling her that you captured me in battle months ago. I needed to vouch for your character in order to save you from a night in the dungeon. I could have never convinced Freya that you were harmless if I'd admitted that I had just met you yesterday. That actually makes sense. She frowned. But you still lied, and because of that everyone thinks that we're... He waited, but she seemed unable to finish the sentence. Lovers, he said gently, and felt his pulse speed up when her cheeks blushed a pretty pink. She waved a dismissive hand. The truth remains that on more than one occasion you have proven yourself a deceitful scoundrel. Now I object. Scoundrel is a bit much. Then you admit to being deceitful? Yes. He nodded. And I apologize for it. If I were truly a scoundrel, I would feel no remorse. He motioned for her to join him by the railing. She wandered slowly toward him. I'm not sure you truly are remorseful, but it hardly matters since I have decided to remain with my sisters. You're reneging on our agreement. Why shouldn't I when I was coerced? With a frown, she watched the shoreline as they floated down the river. Besides, the problems here are not really my concern. Shouldn't you feel some sort of moral obligation to help me? After all, you're a healer. I have no medicine with me. The physician at Draven Castle should have some. She winced. Given the condition of your queen, I don't think you should trust that physician or any of his concoctions. Silas nodded. An excellent point. I have an army physician who is trustworthy. I'll send for her. Gwenor looked away as she gripped the railing. Then you don't need me. That other woman can help you. Was she jealous? Annika doesn't have the gift that you have, and I don't think she's as discerning as you are. You were very quick to figure out my deception. She snorted. You're complimenting me on that? I'll do whatever it takes to get you to stay. I need you. Scoundrel. You could probably figure out who's poisoning the queen without me. He sighed. We're dealing with more than the queen's madness. She's had no surviving children. Is there no heir to the throne? He shrugged. There is one, but you're not understanding how devastating our problems are. He lowered his voice. Unfortunately, those problems are state secrets that I dare not reveal. That is why I resorted to trickery. I can't tell you how bad it really is unless you agree to stay so we can fix everything. A glint of alarm flickered in her eyes. Then don't tell me there's no guarantee I can fix anything. I know that, but the problems are health-related, so your gift could be exactly what I need. He leaned closer. I will tell you this much. I did plan to return Eviana today, no matter what. The last thing I want is war with Eberron or Turin. I don't want war with Woodwin, either. But I haven't convinced the king to end it yet. Her eyes narrowed as she studied him closely. You're a general who doesn't want war. I want peace and prosperity. Gwenor, I'm trying to save my people. Please help me. She shook her head. I belong with my family. Then consider me family. She scoffed. I'm serious. This was his last card to play, so he had to hope it worked. Sorcha is my sister. Gwenor's mouth dropped open. What? I have a brother 8 years older than me. There was another brother and a sister between us, but they both died, and my mother thought it was because of the curse. When Sorcha was born, mother feared for her life, so she sent her to the Isle of Moon where she would be safe. I haven't seen her since she was about 6 weeks old. Gwenor bit her lip. He doesn't look like Sorcha. She took after our mother, while I look more like my father. She had the biggest green eyes and the softest red hair, could scream loud enough that the whole castle could hear her. Silas smiled. I'm hoping to see her today. You probably will. Gwenor. She lifted a hand to stop him. I believe you're sincere, but I want to go back to my sisters. I'm sorry. She bowed her head, then strode toward the pallet where Eviana was sleeping. Damn it. Silas gripped the railing. He wouldn't give up on Gwenor. And even if he was forced to work without her, he wouldn't give up. His brother was in trouble, and his country was dying. Gwenor settled on the pallet next to Eviana. Exhausted both physically and emotionally, she stretched out beside the little girl and closed her eyes against the bright sun overhead. But the image of General Dravenko still appeared in her mind, and his expression of despair and disappointment needled her already frazzled nerves. Why should she care if she had disappointed him? He was the one who had deceived her. But he was desperate. It was obvious just by looking at his eyes. Something was terribly wrong in Noveshka, and his secrecy made her even more curious. Blast him. It's not your problem, she argued with herself. Or was it? Growing up at the convent, she'd heard over and over that there had to be a reason why she and her sisters were embraced. According to Mother Janessa, whenever the two moon goddesses, Luna and Lessa, aligned in the night sky, it was so they could bless certain children with special powers, and those gifts were supposed to be used to make the world a better place. This was a chance for her to do that. But Brody was right, that it could be dangerous. And she hadn't forgotten Nisa's warning about people disappearing. The most sensible thing for her to do was to return to the safety of her sisters. Or was that the cowardly thing to do? With a sigh, she sat up. Beside her, Eviana stirred and opened her eyes.
Gwenny?
She blinked sleepily at her, then looked around.
Where are we?
On a boat, headed for Eberron and your parents.
Really?
Eviana sat up and reached for the pillowcase filled with her three new dolls.
I can't wait to show Mama my new babies.
Gwenor brushed back the little girl's curls. She's going to be so happy to see you. Are ye hungry?
Yes.
Eviana jumped to her feet, the dolls forgotten. Gwenor sat her down at the table and poured a cup of apple cider. Here. While the little girl drank, Gwenor prepared a plate of buttered bread, cold ham, cheese, and sliced apples. So you're not staying with us after all? Alexei asked in Noveshki as he poured himself a drink. Gwenor glanced over at General Dravenko, who was standing alone at the bow of the barge. No, she whispered. I can't work with a dishonest man. Alexei grimaced. I wouldn't call him dishonest. He said he would return the girl, and he's kept his word. He deceived me. Gwenor set the plate of food in front of Eviana. I've known Silas since I was 2 years old. He's an honorable man. With a snort, Gwenor looked away. I'm serious. Alexei lowered his voice. Silas risked his neck, arguing with His Majesty for an hour before he finally got permission to return the girl. Gwenor turned back to the young officer. He argued with the king? Yes. The king relented, but he's still angry at Silas for interfering in his business. So the king wanted to keep her? Gwenor motioned toward the little girl who was busily eating. Why? Alexei sighed. He's afraid his wife will commit suicide if he doesn't give her a reason to live. Gwenor swallowed hard. Then the Norveshki king and queen are both behind the kidnapping of children. Alexei winced. Please don't repeat that to anyone in Eberron or Turin. Silas wants peace with those countries, and he's trying to stop the kidnappings. A sudden thought caused a chill to run down Gwenor's back. What happened to the other abducted children? Did they disappear? Why aren't they still in the nursery? I wondered about that too. Alexei frowned. I asked a servant about it, and she said that once the kidnapped children grow past the age of the royal children who died, the queen realizes they're not hers and rejects them. But there are so many couples in Norveshka who can't have children that the kidnapped ones are quickly adopted. They end up in loving... What do you mean, couples who can't have children? Alexei's eyes widened with alarm. Damn it. I keep saying too much. He cast a worried glance toward General Dravenko. Forget what I said. Gwenor thought back to how she'd noticed the lack of children in the last village. Was this one of the state secrets that the general had referred to? What is going on here? Alexei winced. Look, if you're truly grateful that the general is returning you and the girl, then please don't tell anyone about our problems, all right? Gwenor nodded. I won't say a word. Alexei heaved a sigh of relief. Thank you. He scurried off toward the back of the barge. Gwenor glanced at General Dravenko and noted that he was scowling at Alexei. The general's gaze suddenly shifted to Gwenor, and the intensity of his glittering green eyes made her breath hitch. No. She turned away to tend to Eviana. If returning to her sisters was the cowardly thing to do, then so be it. Being a coward was the best way to keep from getting hurt. If he deceived her once, he could do it again. And the more she became attracted to the scoundrel, the more his deceptions would rip at her heart. But he had stood up to the king in order to save Eviana. He had kept his word that he would send her back. Was he an honorable man or a scoundrel? He needed her, and knowing that made Gwenor's heart soften. At last, someone who thought she was special, who thought she was intelligent, who saw her true worth. With a groan, she lowered her head, resting her brow in the palm of her hand. She didn't know what to do. Gwenor noted that the sun was high in the sky when they arrived in the town of Verushka, situated close to the Eberroni border, where the Vorus River fed into the Norva. As soon as the barge docked at the pier, the mayor of Verushka and a group of men descended on them, demanding to know why the Eberroni army had made camp across the border. They come in peace, General Dravenko assured the mayor. We have the Eberroni princess with us. He motioned to Eviana, who was clinging to Gwenor's skirt. As soon as we return her to her family, the army will leave. Eager to be rid of an encroaching army, the mayor quickly provided the general and his company with horses and a fancy open carriage for the princess and Gwenor. As they rode through town, she looked curiously about. Once again, the townspeople came out of their homes and businesses to gawk at the general, the elfin woman, and the Eberroni princess. And once again, Gwenor noted that there were very few children. Were the children dying, or was the problem one of infertility? How could she help with something like that? The general thought too highly of her. How strange was that? After a few years of being unappreciated, she was astounded that someone would think that much of her. It was appealing, she had to admit. But should she be willing to endanger herself just because she was curious and flattered? When they came to a stop close to the one bridge that spanned the Vorus River, she spotted the Eberroni and Tyrrhenian flags marking the encampment on the southern bank. "Ready to go home?" General Dravenko asked in Eberroni as he opened the carriage door.
"Yes."
Eviana jumped at him, wrapping her arms around his neck.
"Thank you."
With a smile, he stepped back, still holding the little girl. Gwenor's chest tightened. After today, she might never see him again. She gathered up the pillowcase containing the birthday dolls, then descended from the carriage, ignoring the general's outstretched hand. For a small part of her was afraid that if she took his hand, she would not let go. He set the little girl on her feet. "You're the bravest child I've ever met. Not many children take a ride with a dragon." She lifted her chin.
"Eric never has."
The general smiled. "Let's get you back home." Gwenor took Eviana's hand and followed the general toward the bridge. There was an excited bounce in the child's step, and Gwenor thanked the goddesses that the little girl had come through this ordeal so well. As they stepped onto the bridge, she spotted a small troop of armed guards escorting the kings of Eberron and Turin, along with Brody and her sisters. With a grin, she waved at them.
"Gwenor! Eviana!"
The squeals of her sisters carried toward her, and soon her sisters were running toward her.
"Mama!"
Eviana pulled loose from Gwenor and dashed across the bridge.
"Careful!"
Gwenor chased after her, the end of the pillowcase clenched in one fist. They all collided with happy cries and hugs.
"My baby!"
Luciana picked up her daughter and held her tight. With tears running down her cheeks, she turned to Gwenor.
"Bless you. I can't thank you enough."
Her voice broke with a sob. Gwenor wrapped her arms around Luciana and her daughter.
"I'm so sorry."
"Sorry?" Sorcha asked as she joined the group embrace. "Why would ye be? Ye risked your life."
"I shouldn't have taken Eviana away from the camp," Gwenor confessed.
Brigitta sniffed as she hugged them all. "It's not your fault a dragon took her."
"Aye."
Maeve latched onto Gwenor from the back.
"We were so frightened for the both of you."
"Are you all right?" Luciana set her daughter on her feet and looked her over. "You weren't injured in any way?"
"I'm fine," Eviana declared. "The nice man brought me back, and last night he gave me a birthday cake and a..."
Her eyes widened as she glanced around.
"Where is my present?"
"Here." Gwenor handed her the pillowcase.
"I have new dollies."
Eviana grinned.
"How lovely."
Luciana glanced at Gwenor. "Nice man?"
"General Dravenko."
Gwenor glanced toward the bridge. The general had stopped midway across the bridge, and Brody and the kings, Leo and Ulfred, were greeting him. Ulfred, formerly the pirate Rupert, shook the general's hand and gave him a fond slap on the back. Brody shook his hand next. Leo stood to the side, since it was dangerous for anyone to touch him. But the general didn't hesitate to shake Leo's gloved hand.
"He is nice," Brigitta said. "Rupert and I met him when we were in Norveshka. He helped us take back the throne."
"I should thank him for returning Eviana." Luciana regarded him curiously. "Perhaps we should invite him to the celebration tonight. What do you think, Gwenor?"
She glanced at the bridge. The general had turned toward them, and his gaze met hers for a few sizzling seconds.
"Gwenny?"
sort of nudged her. Is something wrong?
I... Gwenor looked at Sorcha, then the general. His gaze had switched to Sorcha, and his eyes glistened with tears. He started toward them, accompanied by Brody and the two kings.
I have to tell you something.
Sorcha scoffed.
Don't tell me ye fell for the man.
Heat rushed to Gwenor's face.
Don't say that. They're coming this way.
She's just teasing you, Maeve said. We know you when you met him yesterday, although he is somewhat good-looking.
Somewhat?
Are ye blind? Gwenor muttered.
His looks are not important, Luciana declared. What we need is his assurance that no child will ever endure what Eviana did. The kidnapping of children has to stop.
I agree, Brigitte said. I think Rupert should send an envoy back with the general to make sure our country's children will be safe.
Luciana nodded.
We should send an envoy too.
Gwenor swallowed hard. This should be her job. She could help more than any envoy.
She glanced at the general as he approached, and once again she had the feeling that she had been waiting for him her entire life. Even so, the unknown was frightening. The unknown was exciting. His gaze met hers once again, and her heart squeezed. The unknown was hers for the taking.
I will go with him.
What? Brigitte asked. Gwenor's heart thudded in her chest. The general had come to an abrupt halt, his gaze intense as he stared at her.
He asked me to help him.
What kind of help?
Luciana asked.
He needs my gift as a healer. I can't give you any details, but if I'm successful, the kidnappings will stop.
Her sisters looked at one another.
Didn't the telling stones foretell she would be in the land of dragons?
Brigitte whispered.
Luciana winced.
But I sensed danger. I'm not sure you'll be safe there, Gwenny.
I'll be fine.
Gwenor drew in a shaky breath.
General Dravenko has promised to protect me. He considers us family.
Sorcha snorted.
How is that? I've never met him before.
Ye have.
Gwenor took Sorcha's hand. When ye were a wee babe.
What?
Sorcha's eyes widened. Gwenor squeezed her hand as the four men approached.
The general is your brother.
Chapter 9. Sorcha stiffened and eyed the general with suspicion.
She's not pleased,
Gwenor thought, as she released her sister's hand. Over the past few years, she had learned that it was rare for any moment to be perfectly happy. There was always a catch. How could Sorcha be happy that she had family when that family had apparently rejected her? Happy endings were hard to come by. Luciana and Brigitte had become the rulers of Eberron and Turin, along with their husbands, but they still had problems. The Eberroni former chief council and head priest, Lord Morris, was secretly gathering a group of disgruntled priests and nobles from both countries. Morris had received a huge amount of gold from the former Turinian king, Gunther, and he was using it to buy spies and create havoc. He and his followers wanted to return to the good old days, where the embraced were hunted down and killed, and everyone worshipped the light under the guidance of priests who held the power of life and death over their flock. Of course, the best way for Morris to achieve such a goal was to make himself king and head of the Church of Enlightenment. And he wasn't the only one causing problems. The chameleon had come close to taking over Eberron and Turin before disappearing in the form of an eagle.
On a personal level, Gwenor wished that all her loved ones could be perfectly happy, but it didn't seem possible. Her heart wrenched as she watched Leo crouch down in front of his daughter. It was so obvious that the poor man wanted to hug Eviana, but he didn't dare when his touch could harm or even kill. All he could do was smile through his tears and ask her if she was all right. He wasn't the only man with glistening eyes. General Dravenko blinked away tears as he spoke to his sister in the Eberoni language. Sorcha, I have always hoped I would see you again. She ignored him and turned to Gwenor.
Are you sure I'm related to this man? He doesn't even look like me.
He looks like his father, while ye resemble your mother, Gwenor replied. Sorcha frowned.
How can ye know that? Have ye met my parents?
Gwenor shook her head. I don't believe... They have passed onto the realm of the heavens, General Dravenko said softly. With a wince, Sorcha turned away. Why should I believe any of this? When she gave Gwenor an entreating look, her eyes glimmered with moisture.
Do ye trust him?
Well, I... Gwenor glanced at the general. He had already proven himself capable of deception and trickery. He gave her a wry look before turning to Sorcha. I brought you something. He reached into his pocket and withdrew a velvet pouch. This belonged to our mother. She would have wanted you to have it. Sorcha opened it and pulled out an ornate ring with an oval sapphire surrounded by diamonds.
Oh, my.
Her sisters crowded around her for a better view.
It's magnificent, Luciana murmured. It must be worth a fortune.
Sorcha eyed the general once again.
I don't suppose ye would give this to me if I wasn't your sister.
His mouth curled up. True. She fit the ring on her finger.
Am I from a noble family, then?
He shrugged.
You could say that.
She gave him a dubious look.
If ye are so rich and powerful, why do ye need Bernard's help?
I believe her special gift will help us, he explained. I will not let any harm come to her. Sorcha removed the ring and dropped it back into the velvet pouch.
How can I be sure ye won't abandon her? After all, ye abandoned me.
He winced. You were not abandoned. You were sent away so you would be safe. She scoffed.
Why should I believe that? Ye still live in Norveshka. Was no one worried about your safety?
I was sent away, he said quietly, about a year after you were. I went to a remote area far to the north. Sorcha's eyes widened.
We were both rejected? Why?
Not rejected. He shook his head. At that time, a plague was sweeping through the country of Norveshka. Most adults survived, but many children died, including a brother and sister of ours. After you were born, Mother was afraid she would lose you too. So she sent you to the Isle of Moon. She was trying to save you.
But she never asked me to return, Sorcha protested. She never contacted me.
She died a few days after you left, he murmured. Sorcha stiffened.
From the plague?
He shook his head. She drowned in the Norva River. When Sorcha glanced toward the river, he added, North of here, by the town of Dreshka. Father died 10 years ago. Sorcha's shoulders slumped.
I see.
He was being careful not to mention anything about the so-called curse, Gwenor realized. I am hoping it will be safe for you to visit soon, he added.
Is it safe for Gwenor now? Luciana asked.
I will protect her. You have my word.
You would better, my Lord General.
Sortra grabbed onto Gwenor.
If anything happens to my sister, I'm coming after you.
The General smiled. Spoken like a true Norveshki. Please, call me Silas.
Sortra lifted her chin.
I will, after you safely return my sister.
He nodded, then turned to Gwenor.
We need to go now, so we can be back before nightfall.
A thrill of excitement shot through Gwenor. She was really doing this.
We will trust you to take care of her then, Luciana told him, and I thank you for returning my daughter.
My pleasure, Your Majesty. He bowed his head.
We are counting on you.
Brigitte extended a hand, and when he took it, she inhaled sharply, closing her eyes.
Brigitte!
Gwenor caught her sister as she stumbled back. Her special gift must have been triggered by the General's touch.
Are you all right, Your Majesty? He asked.
Yes. Brigitte drew in a deep breath.
We need to say goodbye.
Luciana pulled Gwenor and her sisters aside.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Gwenor nodded.
I agreed to only 1 month, and if I am successful, no more children will be kidnapped.
Please be careful, Brigitte whispered. When I touched the General, I came close to passing out.
Gwenor winced.
That bad?
Brigitte nodded.
He is a man of many secrets.
Gwenor's heart pounded as the barge floated away from Verushka. What adventures were waiting for her at Draven Castle? Now that they had to go upriver, the crew was hard at work on the oars and poles. The only ones not working were herself and the General. He motioned for her to join him at the table.
We should make our plans.
All right. She responded in Norveshki as she took a seat.
Where did Alexei go?
I sent him to the army camp to fetch Annika and some medical supplies. They should arrive tomorrow.
I see.
She poured herself a cup of apple cider, but the pitcher ran out after a few drops.
Not to worry.
He rummaged in a nearby basket and pulled out another pitcher. We still have wine. He poured 2 cups full. She took a taste and winced at how strong it was. He sat in the chair beside her and scooted up close. She stiffened.
What do you...
I don't want us to be overheard, he whispered. Everything we discuss from now on must be kept secret.
Then we should speak Eberoni.
He shook his head. These men trade with the Eberoni. They know the language.
Oh,
she gasped when he took her hand. They'll think we're having a romantic moment. He lifted her hand to his mouth and kissed her knuckles.
Stop that.
She pulled her hand from his grasp. Ah. His eyes twinkled with humor. Now they'll think we're having a lover's quarrel. Warmth flooded her cheeks.
Is this a jest to you?
No. No one will dare harm you if they believe you are special to me. That is the best way for me to protect you.
I understand that, but it doesn't mean you can touch me without my permission.
Would you give me permission? She started to say no, but the entreating look on his handsome face gave her pause. Good goddesses, this man was far too appealing. She took a bracing sip of wine. He rested an arm on the back of her chair.
You'll need to call me Silas. But I hardly know, and I'll call you Gwen. Or Gwenny. Is there an endearment you prefer? Excuse me? Sweetheart? Snookums? His mouth curled up. Bunnykins? She grimaced.
Are you serious?
I guess Bunnykins was too much. She slapped his shoulder. I love it when you play rough, Snookums.
Stop it!
Her mouth twitched. The man was outrageous. He grinned. That's better. We have to seem comfortable together. Or no one will believe we're lovers. She snorted.
Then I'll be sure to slap you whenever I feel like it.
Excellent. He scooted even closer and lowered his voice. How do you think the Queen is being poisoned? His close proximity made her pulse race, but thank the goddesses they were finally talking business. The easiest way would be through her food or drink. That's what I thought. So for the past year, one of the Queen's ladies-in-waiting, Margosha, has been secretly testing everything the Queen eats or drinks. So far, she's encountered no effect. Gwenor winced. She does it voluntarily? That could be dangerous. I know. But Margosha is determined to help me. She served my mother for years. Then she was my governess for a year after mother died.
Oh.
Gwenor recalled how he had mentioned his mother drowning in the Norva River. How old were you when your mother passed away?
6.
He turned his head to gaze at the passing shoreline. That was a horrible year. I lost a brother and a sister, then Sorcha was sent away, and then mother. He closed his eyes briefly. What a terrible thing for a child to endure, Gwenor thought. Was he lonesome growing up? And why would a man have such pretty eyelashes? When he opened his eyes to look at her, her breath hitched. I'm sorry about your mother. It wasn't an accident, he whispered. I'm not sure if she was overcome with grief or in the grip of madness. But she threw herself off the bridge in Dreska. Gwenor gasped. I tried to be enough for her, enough of a reason for her to live. Gwenor clasped his hand.
You mustn't blame yourself. You were only a child.
He squeezed her hand with his own. The following summer, when I was 7, the plague swept through the country again. The physicians claimed that the disease became more dangerous in warmer temperatures, so I was sent far to the north, where it is always cold. How sad, Gwenor thought. He must have been lonely. His mouth curled up. It wasn't that bad. The castle is owned by Alexei's father, Lord Marenko. He was a former general, so he trained Dmitri, Alexei, and myself. That was when you became close friends? He nodded. You can count on them. And Lady Margosha. She'll help us however she can.
I see.
Gwenor withdrew her hand and took another sip of wine. Are you sure she's tested everything the Queen eats or drinks? Yes. I don't think the problem could be as simple as the water supply. Or everyone in Draven Castle and the village of Dreska would be crazy.
True.
She sipped more wine while she considered. It has to be something that only the Queen comes in contact with. Mayhap the poison is embedded in something she wears, such as her clothes.
Mayhap?
I heard you say that before. Where did you learn Norveshki? She frowned.
Is there something amiss with my use of your language? Your grammar is perfect. You have a bit of an accent, but I like it. Very much. She drank more wine, trying to ignore how flattered she was. I learned all four mainland languages in the convent of the Two Moons where I grew up. The sisters there are famous for transcribing and illustrating books. I know. I have a few of them.
Really?
She smiled at him. I learn Norveshki by transcribing Turushki's Bedtime Tales of a Mountain Troll.
Are you kidding?
That has to be about 500 pages long. 486 pages, to be precise, including the illustrations. And I transcribed it twice. By the time I finished, I was fairly fluent in the language.
He winced.
That book is 400 years old.
I know.
She shuddered. I kept imagining 400 years of sweet young children having nightmares. Why on Earthland do the Norveshki tell their children such frightful tales right before bedtime? They are cautionary tales to warn children not to wander off into the forest. A great deal of our country is covered with vast forests, where it is easy to get lost. And there are bears, wolves, and wildcats.
Pray, tell me the mountain trolls do not actually exist. I had a few nightmares myself when I was doing the illustrations.
His mouth twitched.
Pray?
You do realize you were working on a book that is 400 years old.
Yes, I know, but we receive more orders for it than any other Norveshki book. It is a classic.
He gave her a pointed look. 400 years old. Her eyes narrowed.
Are you telling me my manner of speech is archaic?
No, he grinned. I'm saying you're a classic. Warmth invaded her cheeks, but she wasn't sure if she was embarrassed or flattered.
I shall endeavor to update my speech to more modern usage.
You don't need to change, Gwenor. I like you the way you are.
More heat rushed to her face and she gulped down more wine. You needn't flatter me to ensure my cooperation. I realize you consider my kind the enemy. You're not from Woodwin. You're my sister's adopted sister. And you're clever, brave, and beautiful.
When she started to object, he raised her hand. I know you don't want to believe it. Brody told me you've been encountering prejudice. But you shouldn't listen to a few ignorant fools who are afraid of you.
She swallowed hard. You think they're afraid?
He nodded.
And you're not?
No. You're one of a kind. That might frighten some, but I find you intriguing and incredibly beautiful.
She turned away, her heart thundering in her ears. Good goddesses, how could she spend a month with this man? Was he being honest with her, or was he still trying to manipulate her? He'd promised to protect her, but who would protect her heart? She glanced up at the sky.
Puff! Are you still there? If I need to run away, would you take me?
The dragon from before was still there, circling overhead and not answering her.
Where is Puff?
She asked softly. The general sighed, then took a drink of wine.
He's busy at the moment.
He said he would never be far away.
A look of annoyance crossed the general's face. I thought we were talking about us. Why are you thinking about the dragon all of a sudden?
Why shouldn't I? He saved my life.
She eased her nerves by concentrating on cutting an apple into slices.
I could be wrong, but I think he likes me.
With a snort, the general stole one of her apple slices, then bit into it. Maybe you should date him, then.
Date?
It was a term she wasn't familiar with.
It's a modern Norveshki word for courtship.
He tossed the rest of the apple slice into his mouth. She scoffed. I couldn't possibly be courted by a dragon. We're not even the same species.
But you think he likes you, the general muttered, and you seem more than a bit obsessed with him.
Don't be silly. She slapped his hand away when he tried to steal another slice of apple. I'm merely grateful that he saved my life, and I consider him an important ally in case I find myself in trouble.
The general arched an eyebrow at her. I said I would protect you.
She shrugged. Puff can do things that you could never do.
He gritted his teeth.
I can do things that Puff could never do.
Can you fly?
He leaned close.
I can take you places he never can.
Her skin pebbled with goose flesh. There is no need for you to compete with him. I have no intention of dating a dragon, or anyone else for that matter. The general swept a lock of hair away from her brow and tucked it behind her ear. The first rule for dating a dragon is that whenever he takes you for a ride, you hold on tight and never let go.
She swallowed hard.
Somehow she had a strange feeling he was referring to himself. She turned away and gulped down the rest of her wine.
Don't fall for him. Don't fall for him.
He hissed in a breath. I can't take it anymore. She gave him a wary look. Excuse me?
Gwen,
you know how I can communicate with the dragons. Dimitri and Alexei can too. There are only a few Norveshki men who can, and we're all descended from the three cursed clans.
She blinked.
There are no women with the ability, I mean other than me. None that I have ever heard of. Now perhaps you will understand how unusual you are.
I don't know why I can do it.
Perhaps you should tell me more about the curse.
He waved a dismissive hand.
It's not real, so there's no need.
But there might be something in the mythology of it that will give us a clue as to how to be rid of it.
Forget the damned curse, he growled. I'm trying to explain something to you. You're not going to like it, but I can't continue like this. It's not fair to you.
A sliver of apprehension stole over her.
What is it?
Since Dimitri, Alexei, and I can communicate with the dragons, we can also talk to one another with our minds. But we don't like the idea of anyone invading our thoughts, so we have learned how to erect mental shields.
She nodded, recalling the wall she'd encountered when she'd done a reading on him.
I'm telling you this so you can learn how to build a shield. You don't have one, Gwen.
She stiffened.
How would you know that?
He winced.
I'm sorry, but I've been hearing your thoughts.
Chapter 10 Silas groaned inwardly at the horrified look on Gwenor's face. Damn it, he hated revealing this to her. But it was better to be honest with her so she could learn to protect her privacy. And if he had to listen to any more of her struggle against her attraction to him, he couldn't guarantee he would behave himself.
You've been hearing everything?
Her voice rose.
Shh, not so loud.
He looked at the oarsman, who was stealing glances. She slapped a hand over her mouth, then leaned over and moaned.
Good goddesses, no. He must have heard me calling him General Gorgeous, and he heard all the times I
Damn it! He can hear me now!
It's nothing to be concerned about, he whispered. So I found out early in our relationship that you're attracted to me. No big deal.
She shot him an incredulous look. No big deal.